If you're taking notes this morning, and you should be, I have entitled this morning's message, Trusting the Lord When You Don't Understand. Trusting the Lord When You Don't Understand. Church, God has given his answer to the prophet Habakkuk. Habakkuk has been praying to God about how he doesn't understand what God is doing in the world. It didn't make sense to him. He's been crying out to God, asking why and how long. God didn't give him specific answers to those questions. Rather, God tells Habakkuk that he's going to act. He's going to act in unbelievable ways, since God will act in his time. In believable ways, church, God tells Habakkuk that the righteous will not trust in themselves, but will live by their faith. Further, God tells Habakkuk that he is in his holy temple and all the earth must keep silence before him. Heartland, listen. When you don't understand what the Lord is doing, you don't understand why things are the way they are in your life. The first thing I'm going to share with you is let God be God. Now, God's part of this discussion has concluded. Habakkuk is given the final word in the third chapter of Habakkuk. But what will Habakkuk say to this definitive response from the Lord? What will Habakkuk's answer be? What should the faithful say when we recognize that the Lord is in his holy temple? Church, open your Bibles to Habakkuk chapter 3. And we'll learn from Habakkuk how to respond to God when we do not understand what God is doing in the world and in our lives. So often we just want to know, Lord, why? Why am I going through this? Why? When, Lord, are you going to do something about it? Well, in verses 1 and 2, I want us to look at Habakkuk's first response. His first response is to return to prayer. Heartland, we're going to be shown to pray and pray again and pray again. When you're going through some things that you don't understand, Habakkuk is going to show us you need to pray. Pray again, and then pray some more. Why, Brother Red? Because the Lord is in his holy temple. However, because the Lord is in his holy temple, Sister Body, does not mean that we stop praying. We'll stop complaining, and we'll let our God be God. But that does not mean that we no longer will talk to the Lord again and again and again. Habakkuk shows in chapter 3, verse 1, that God being in his temple means that Habakkuk will offer up his prayer again to the Lord. Why, Brother Red? Because God is in his temple doing what? Ruling from his throne. What will Habakkuk say this time in his prayer? First, Habakkuk says that he has heard about the power of God in the past. I know your mighty works, Lord, that you've done before. And I am in awe of what you have done before. I know you have done great things in the world and for your people before. Lord, do them again. Revive your work Use your power again today. Lord, let us see your mighty works again. Heartland, listen carefully. When you are in your season of life, and if you haven't been there yet, you're going to get there. And if you've been there before, you're going to get there again. When you are in the season of your life, when you do not understand, pray. Pray for God to perform his untraceable, powerful works in your life again. Pray that God would choose to do something amazing again that will astound everybody. Pray that God will work and it will astound the doctors. Pray that God will work and it will shock the nations. Pray that God will work and people will fall on their face and glorify God because the work will be clearly attributed to the God of heaven. Pray for God to act again for his own name's sake and his own glory. Habakkuk prays that God would act again with his mighty hand. In verses 3 through 15, the second thing Habakkuk does is he turns and, Brother Theron, he starts describing God's mighty work and his sovereign rule in creation. Habakkuk describes his past interventions. He speaks of God's splendor and his glory and his actions throughout the world on behalf of his people. In verse 6, God stood and shook the earth. In 8 and 9, the mountains crumbled and trembled before the Lord. God parted the sea to rescue his people. In 10 through 13, the sun and the moon stood still to rescue God's people. Church, the majority of this prayer, listen, is Habakkuk describing God's majesty. Why is Habakkuk doing this? Why is observing and remembering God's majesty so important when you pray? When you don't understand, why are you remembering and observing God's majesty? And why is that so important? Church, the point is to know that there is good reason to trust God again. God is a powerful rescuer of his people. God is a warrior who fights, Brother Scott, for his people. And equally as important, all powers of this earth, no matter who has you in a place where you don't want to be, all powers are subject to God. No power can withstand our God. Church, you see that how you think about God affects how you pray to God. I want to say that again because I want you to get this. How you think about God affects how you pray to God. Our view of God changes everything about how we will pray to our God. Job, in the midst of his suffering, uttered these words in Job 19, verses 23 through 27. Job says, "Oh, that my words were written. Oh, that they were inscribed in a book. Oh, that with an iron pen and lead, they were engraved in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last, he will stand up on the earth. And after my skin has been thus destroyed, yet in my flesh, I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself. And my eyes shall behold, and not another. My heart faints within me." Church, I want you to notice that Job says that he knows his Lord, his Redeemer lives, even though he thinks that his flesh will be destroyed by his suffering. Job, listen, Job was not giving up on God. Why, Brother Red? Because he knew God's power. Even though he was experiencing complete and utter loss on this earth, Job's hope and Habakkuk's hope and our hope is that God is not merely just a deliverer in the past. Our God, our Redeemer, lives. He continues to deliver in the present and in the future. One author made this very clear and thoughtful point. We fear what people do because we do not fear, because we do not reverence what God can do and is doing and will do. Church, listen. Recounting God's glory helps us to see the power and the majesty of our God that is ready to act again. Serving God's power and hoping in God's deliverance, church, in verses 16 through 19, leads Habakkuk to three responses in the final few verses of the book. What will Habakkuk say and do as the righteous who lives by his faith? What should we say and do as the righteous who lives by our faith in God when we don't understand why, when, how long? Look at verse 16. Habakkuk describes the terror that he has inside. His body is trembling. He feels like his bones are decaying. His legs are shaking. Heartland, I want us to see that God's answer to have faith and trust that he is in the holy temple does not mean, listen, it does not mean that we're not trembling within. Having faith in God does not mean that we're not hurting on the inside. Faith in God does not mean that when we don't understand when and how long, that we're not shaking down to our bones. Faith in God does not mean that we do not feel like the stool hasn't just been kicked from under us and that we're not staggering. But notice what else Habakkuk says in verse 16. Faith quietly waits for the day of trouble to come. He says, trembling, I will wait quietly for the day of calamity. Church, listen, as Christians, we rest in God while we are trembling. Yes, I'm afraid, but that does not mean I'm not trusting. Sometimes I feel rotten within myself, but that does not mean that I'm not waiting for God. What I want us to see was that God did not answer Habakkuk by telling him that he would avoid the time of his trouble. Rather, God said to Habakkuk and to us, you must trust me, Brother Scott, while you go through the time of trouble. God never tells us that we will avoid the valleys of life or you're going to be exempt. God never says that we will get to skip the winter seasons of life. Rather, God says in the 23rd Psalms, I will walk with you through the valley of the shadow of death. God says, you can trust that I am in my holy temple while you walk through that winter season. But Church, as we and when and we will wait, rather, we will wait as God walks with us to the other side. Habakkuk's second response can be seen in verses 17 and 18. Listen to what the prophet says in verse 17. He describes a complete economic collapse. The flocks will disappear. The herds will no longer be in the stalls. The fields will no longer produce food. Church, this is going to be a total disaster. Church, just imagine if the trials mean that you lose your job and you lose your possessions and you lose your money and you lose your food. Now, what do you do if you lost it all? Some of us have done that. Heartland, this is the prospect that Habakkuk is facing. He's going to lose it all. But look at verse 18. Even if he loses it all, he will rejoice in the Lord. He will find his joy in the God of his salvation. Church, think about what the prophet is teaching us. Rejoice in God when you cannot rejoice in your circumstances. There's going to come a time when all you've got to left to rejoice in God, it is God, because what you're looking at don't look good. I want to say that again. Rejoice in God when you cannot rejoice in your circumstances. You see, it's much easier to rejoice in our blessings. But will we rejoice in our loss? Heartland, we want to know how we could possibly rejoice in our loss and in our devastation. Church, here's your answer. Listen, as God's people, we can find joy in God when we cannot find joy in our circumstances because, listen carefully to this, you don't get anything else out of the message this morning, get this. There's one thing, Sister Jameson, that nothing in this world can take away from you. Nothing can take you away from the love of Christ. Nothing can take you away from your salvation and spend eternity with our God. Church, there's so much that we can lose in this life, but we cannot lose the most important thing, our God. In Romans 8, verse 35, the Apostle Paul, what he's going to do here in Romans 8, 35, is he found hope in proclaiming that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. And then Paul describing lots of bad things that can happen. He describes trials, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, dangers, and being threatened with death. Heartland, listen, we can still rejoice in the Lord. Why, Brother Red? Because even in all those things, we're more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. I can rejoice because there's one thing you cannot take away from me. That's the love of my God for me. You can take all my stuff, but you can't take God's love from me away. And nobody can take God's love away from you. Now, church, here's the very sad thing. And it happens more often than it should. When life gets hard, we are tempted to throw away the one thing that cannot be taken from us, and that's our God. When we lose everything, we often throw away the love of Christ rather than rejoicing in what we have in Christ. Church, listen. Faith says, all that I need is my Father in heaven. Faith says that if everything in this life fails, I know that my God will not fail me. If my health fails, my God won't. If my marriage fails, my God won't. If my job fails, my God won't. So I can still rejoice in the Lord, even if I lose it all. Heartland, this brings us back to Habakkuk's third response, which we read in verse 19. The Lord is my strength. God, listen, will give me the strength to go through the times when I don't understand. My God is a powerful and rescuing God. He will bring me through the fire and keep me strong. My God, your God, will provide. My God, your God, will help. My God and your God will get us through. He will make us to walk on the mountain heights. He will get me and you through the rugged terrain. He will give us the secure steps to continue to walk to the top of this mountain of not understanding. So, Heartland, what is my source and your source of strength when we don't understand? What is your hope when life does not make sense? When you just wonder how long, Lord, what keeps you going when you feel like you cannot continue? If you trust in you, listen, if you trust in you, Brother Scott, then you'll be crushed when you don't understand what God is doing. If you're self-reliant, then when life does not make sense, you'll be crushed to the dust of the earth. However, if your spirit is not upright, listen, when you lose it all, you're going to lose it. But if you trust in our God, then you will hold on to God all the more when life is in free fall. Church, I'm not a big fan of roller coasters. Never have been. I never wanted anybody turning me on my head. When I had young children, however, they would always try to get me to ride rides with them and go on all of these crazy rides. So I would go from time to time on the roller coasters that flipped so many times it didn't even seem like we were ever right side up. Now, I don't know how you all like that feeling, but I hate that feeling. However, as the ride would drop me over and over again, I had one hope. I would hold on, Brother Hayden, to the one secure thing that I could. And that was that lap bar. So I held on as hard as I could because I knew I would get through the ride if I was holding on to that safety object provided to me. Well, church, can I tell you something? I stopped to tell you this morning that when you are facing things that you don't understand, God is the only safely, is the only safe way to survive. The repeated falls of life, that's your only safety measure. The Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 4, verses 12 through 14 said it like this: I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound in any and every circumstance. I've learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger and abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Church, listen, we can get through any circumstance when we see our glorious, powerful God who will safely carry us through the storm. We will be trembling, and we will feel like we're drowning on the inside. But we will rejoice in our God and can depend on our God who will get us through. He will give us the next safe step so that we can continue to leap like deer as we climb this mountain of misunderstanding and challenges that are before us. Church, this is what living by faith looks like. God may not change our circumstance, Brother Scott, but our God changes us to be strong for the circumstances. Church, in closing this morning, even when you don't understand the circumstances and the challenges of life, learn to pray more. Heartland, we're being shown to pray again and again and pray again. The Lord, being in his holy temple, will hear us. And then we need to see God's sovereign rule. If you trust in our God, then you will hold on to God all the more when life is in a free fall and you don't understand. If you've not done that before, if you've not been in a situation where you don't understand, keep living. Some of you know what I'm talking about. My encouragement to us this morning, when you don't understand what life is going to offer, you don't understand why your circumstances as they are, pray. Know that God is sovereign and he has power over any circumstance that you're in. Trust God. He's our safety net. And if we'll trust our God, he'll serve us, he'll bless us, and he'll do well by us. There is nothing that you will have in a circumstance that's greater than the love or the power of God to get you through it. Even when you don't understand it, because there are going to be some things you don't understand. And if you're over probably 20, most of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you got some things right now you don't understand. But if you're in a free fall, hold on to God. He'll get you through it. But don't be self-reliant. Trust God. Listen, you're going to get more with trusting our God than you can do doing all you can, because he holds the power in his hand to determine anything with just speaking. There's nobody on this call, Brother Theron, that has that kind of power. When you don't understand, don't run away from God. Get closer. Serve him more. Pray more. Love him more. Love each other more. Your circumstances should never determine your relationship with the God of heaven. Never. There'll be times when it's good. But Sister Nava, there are some winter months coming. I'm just trying to prepare us for when they come. I hope this morning that as you listen to the message, that we've said some things that would encourage you. Our God is an amazing God. If you're here this morning, and you've never named the name of Jesus, you're going to have to hear the word of God. I'm talking about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. You're going to have to believe that. You will have to hear it, believe it. You'll have to repent of your past sins. And then you'll have to confess the name of Jesus. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Then you'll have to be baptized for the remission of your sins, and God will add you to the church that's in the Bible. He's not going to add you to any church. He's going to add you to the church, because there's only one in the Bible. I pray that if you're here and you are a Christian, and you know that the way you trust God is off, and you know that you're right now struggling with some things that are beyond you and you don't understand, rededicate your life to praying and looking at the sovereignty of God, knowing that our God can absolutely bless us in a free fall. In whatever way that you need to respond to this morning's invitation, we bid you to do so as we close out the preaching portion of our worship this morning.